Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and our prayer is that you'll come to know the deep, deep love of Jesus Christ. As we've been journeying through the Gospel of John, we've been looking at the miracles of Jesus, miracles for you in 2022. We've looked at the miracle man, Jesus, as he began to head to Jerusalem and the cross, the tomb, the joy of the resurrection. In the Gospel of John, there are seven miracles. We've looked at four so far. Do you know that there are seven great I am statements also in the Gospel of John? We've looked at one of them last month when we shared the sacrament of communion and we talked about communion. I'd like to open up with these seven great I am statements, all found in the amazing Gospel of John. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." John 6:35. "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life." John 8:12. "I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." John 8:58. Therefore, Jesus said again, "I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep." John 10:7. John 10:9, he says, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture." And John 10:11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." In John 10:14, he says again, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And then in John 15:4, he says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. And apart from Christ, we can do nothing." In John 14:6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus is the great I am. Today we turn our minds, hearts, and ears and eyes yet again to the story of Lazarus, Martha, and Mary in the town of Bethany. As always, think about where you fit into this story. It is 2 weeks before Easter. Jesus' 3 years of earthly ministry is coming to a close. We have been there as water is turned into wine, as a crowd of 10,000 was fed with 2 fish and 5 barley loaves, as a man was healed of his illness after 38 years. Jesus now enters a small village called Bethany, just 2 miles outside of Jerusalem. Let us pray. Father, we gather together and we remind ourselves of the story of your one and only Son, Jesus. We ask that the Holy Spirit will illuminate today's story and that we can find ourselves traveling with Jesus. Father, the world is hurting for the truth, hurting for your love, searching for your peace. Be with us as we pause today. Be with us as we listen to these living words of life. Do a miracle in us today. Open the story and let us find out how this story from long ago is still alive in us today. Amen. If you have your Bibles, grab your Bible. We're going to be in John 11, 1 to 44. We've been in John 11. We've been in this story. Hopefully you listened to last week's message. If you haven't, you can always go back to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Listen to the weekly messages, John 11, 1 to 44. "Now a man named Lazarus was sick, and he was from Bethany in the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who had poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.' When he heard this, Jesus said, 'This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.' Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, but he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Then Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping. He was deeply moved in spirit and trouble. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved them?" Well, last week we learned how important it is for us to take a 10,000-foot heavenly view when we are in the middle of a difficult situation. Often we cannot see the forest for the trees. Honestly, when we find ourselves deep in the forest of life, it's time to rise above, to bring our situation to God, and to try to see our lives from God's perspective. Oswald Chambers once wrote, "Sometimes it looks like God is missing the mark because we are too short-sighted to see what he's aiming at." Our first point for today centers around our wanting and God working. Do you know that the interval between our wanting and God working is called waiting? Let me say that again. Our interval between our wanting and God working is called waiting. Martha and Mary were wanting Jesus to come and heal their brother Lazarus. God was working. They were waiting for Jesus. Jesus waited 4 days and Lazarus died. Sometimes when we feel like we're in a holding pattern, it may be that God is getting ready to do something more miraculous than that for which we could hope for. Family and friends had gathered in Martha and Mary's house in order to grieve with them over the loss of their brother Lazarus. The custom of the day was that the mourners would stay for a week to weep, wail, and comfort the sister over their loss. Martha and Mary had sent for Jesus, but Jesus delayed. When Jesus does arrive, Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days. We're told that as Jesus approached the village of Bethany, Martha ran to meet him. Martha, Mary, Lazarus, and Jesus were good friends, best of friends. They hung out together. Remember the dinner party they threw for Jesus? The one where Martha was upset with her sister Mary because she kept sitting at Jesus' feet and was not doing any of the work? Martha took Jesus aside and tried to get him to straighten Mary out. And Jesus says to her, "Oh, Martha, one thing is needful. Mary is choosing the better portion." Martha is on the lookout for Jesus. She sent for him 4 days ago, and she knows he is coming. When she sees Jesus, she beelines it straight to him. Can you see her now? Martha is not in the kitchen cooking quail over the fire, baking bread, or frosting bread. No, Martha has learned well from her time hanging out with Jesus. She's finally learned to choose the better portion like her sister, Mary. She has heard Jesus was on his way. She has gone out to scan the horizon, and she sees him. Cooking and cleaning can wait. Martha has a bigger fish to fry. In my mind's eye, I see Martha running to Jesus, embracing him, crying into his shoulder, "If only, if only, if only you'd been here, my brother would not have died." Martha is stuck. She's just stuck in this pattern of grief, but she also remembers that who Jesus is. And as she weeps, she adds, "But I know that even now, those two great questions, if only and even now, but I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." Even now, what powerful words of faith Martha proclaimed. Even when it seems that God is 4 days late, it's still too soon to give up. Most miracles take longer than we want. But the longer we wait, the more we appreciate them. I hope your miracle does not take 38 years like the unnamed lame man in the pool, by the pool whom Jesus healed. If it does, I'm going to encourage you to wait. What does Jesus do now? Jesus comforts Martha by telling her that her brother will rise again. Martha agrees with Jesus and says he'll rise on the resurrection of the last day. Jesus knows what lies ahead of him, Palm Sunday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Easter, and he's not about to leave this resurrection thing alone. He pushes the envelope just a little bit further and says to Martha those powerful words that echo throughout history, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" Well, you've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor David. Our prayer is that you'll come to know these great I am statements. Personally, this great I am statement has been a life changer for me. It was in February of 1996. I was sitting in Atlanta at a pastor's Promise Keepers conference. What a powerful time of worship I have shared with 42,000 pastors. The speaker shared on this statement, "I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this?" As I sat in the audience, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, and I started to journal about this promise. When I was 12 years old, my oldest brother was killed. He was 16. I understand Martha very well. "Lord, if you were here, my brother would not have died." I was now 40 years old, and I had many years of wrestling with my brother's death. I had struggled with my mom turning to alcohol and my dad disappearing into his work. Here I was at this pastor's conference. I was in my second year of seminary. Our finances were depleted. I was questioning my call to ministry. Here's a part of what I wrote in my journal back in Atlanta in 1996. Lord God, heal my brokenness. Give life to the areas in my life that I have shut off and shut down. I ask and pray that you, Lord, would watch over my wife and children as I'm away from them. Lord, search my heart and heal me. Check out my ways and clear my thoughts. I give you my life. Those were the words I wrote in 1996. The words from John haunted me here at this conference. Do you believe? Let me say it to you. Do you believe? For Martha, it was not a dinner party anymore. Her brother had died. Martha knows the one thing that is needful of her. She responds, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." Right here, right now, we need to put ourselves into this story. Do you believe? Martha has the right answer. "Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe that you are the Messiah. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe you are the one coming into the world." Friends, Whatever it is that you're struggling with today, no matter how big or small, the question remains the same. Do you believe? Martha runs back home to tell Mary that Jesus is calling her. Mary falls at Jesus' feet, two sisters, one heartfelt cry. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. So point one of our story today, our first point of this message. While we are wanting, God is working. Wait. While we are wanting, God is working. Wait. Well, as I sat in the bleachers at that pastor's conference back in 1996, I had no other choice before me. I was halfway through seminary. I had committed to a 3-year degree. So what? Our savings were depleted. We had no money. Between my wife and I, we had 4 jobs besides full-time ministry. We could pay the mortgage. The real question was for me, Dave, do you believe? That was the question. Dave, do you believe? Do you believe that I am the Messiah? Do you believe that I am the Son of God? Do you believe I called you to seminary? Do you think I can provide for you and for your family? Sometimes miracles seem to happen instantaneously, like water being turned into wine or a little boy's lunch turning into a fish fry for thousands. But sometimes miracles wait. Like the man who tried to get into the pool of Siloam for 38 years. I do not know where you are today, but I do know that in our want, God is working. Wait. The key point is not the miracle. The key point is our answer to Jesus, our answer to the great I am statement. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Here's the question. Do you believe this? Well, back in Atlanta, Georgia, 1996, I restated my belief in this whole Jesus story. That was over 26 years later, or 26 years ago. I still have wants. I know you do. God is still working, and I'm still waiting. But I have seen miracle after miracle. Weep and wonder, that's what I thought. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and trouble. John 11:33. The word translated, quote, was deeply moved, unquote, comes from an ancient Greek word that describes, well, it's a strange thing. It describes a horse snorting. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard a horse snorting, but I grew up in the farm country. It's kind of a loud noise. Jesus was deeply moved. It was like a horse snorting. When taken in this text context, it implies that our Lord let out an involuntary gasp. The wind went out of Jesus. Can you enter into this story? When Jesus saw all of these people weeping over his good friend, he became greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He wanted to be reunited with Martha and Mary. He saw their sorrow, their grief, and Jesus was deeply moved in spirit and trouble. What happens next? It says here, right here. When Jesus saw Mary weeping and the Jews also coming along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit. Where have you laid him? Jesus said. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Well, everyone knows, or at least you should know, it's the shortest verse in the Bible. But it speaks volumes. Jesus burst into tears. It tells us how much Jesus loved Lazarus. Jesus wept. Friends, we have a God who feels what we feel. When we weep, Jesus weeps with us. In our want, God is working. Wait. In our weeping, God weeps with us. Wait. My wife and I recently experienced a season of grief. 6 family members and 2 best friends have died within 640 days. my dad and her dad, her mom, my brother, a nephew, an uncle, two best friends. To be honest with you, I want it all to go away. We want to be done with this grief thing. Yet in our want, God is working. We are waiting in our weeping. Jesus weeps with us. God has never left us nor forsaken us. Right here in this story of Lazarus, we see that we've got a good part yet to come. Jesus wept. Right here in this story, we're told that Jesus enters into our story, and when we weep, Jesus weeps with us. Well, as we come and think about this, I want you to sit back for a moment. Sit back like I did maybe at that pastor's conference in 1996. And the question that was pointed to me was, Dave, do you believe? Do you believe? The question is the same for us, no matter what we're going through. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe? That's the question that is presented to us. To be honest with you, I believe. I believe because I'm in the story. Are you? I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know your fears, your doubts. I don't know the guilt, the shame. I don't know the sin that clings so closely. I don't know if you're facing death or if you've walked through the valley of the shadow of death or if you're in that valley today. I do know Jesus. He's my best friend. And I know that I've learned some lessons over my lifetime with him. And that's why I'm here today, is to share some of my personal lessons that I have learned. I have found that when I'm wanting something, God is working. So I wait. I don't know what you're waiting on. I don't know what you're looking for, but I'm going to encourage you to wait. We have the promises in Scripture that Jesus will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Wait. Wait. He'll come. He'll provide. He is your Jehovah Jireh. While we're wanting something, God is working. Wait. And also, while we're weeping, I want you to know that Jesus weeps with us. What a powerful demonstration of the deep, deep compassion and love of God we have here in this passage. Jesus comes to the tomb and he sees all the people weeping and he weeps with them. So take home today this message that in our wanting, God is working. Wait. And in our weeping, Jesus weeps with us. I know that's not a real happy, spectacular, joyful message, but it's a message we need to hear that God is working. We wait. And God is weeping when we weep. I want to pray for you. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, we lift up this message to you. We lift up the people to you that hear this message. We pray that your Holy Spirit would come and empower them with your grace for each moment. Let them know that you're with them. Let them know that you'll never leave them or forsake them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to know, God loves you, and so do I. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.